let's welcome them. They were whispering to my ear here and telling me that they are ready to fire. So it means the earth, wind and fire stories, it's now the opposite. Let's allow them to fire.
Be ready to receive.
Yeah, let's receive. Okay, we're ready for you. We're not going to introduce ourselves. We know each other by now. Chair, to you, with your team, you're welcome. Let's hear from you. Let's receive.
Thank you so much. Chair of the Portfolio Committee. Maybe we must have adjusted our grammar a little bit. Instead of saying we are ready to fire, we must have said we're ready to land. Thank you once again. We really appreciate this invitation by the committee. It is not often that the South African Civil Aviation Authority gets invited to engage with the Portfolio Committee. So we're not taking this lightly. We really appreciate this. We also assume, Chair, that this is in line with the commitment made by the committee the last time we met in Gauteng, that you'll engage with us a little bit more. So we thank you so much for staying true to that. We're still hoping that the committee will visit us up in Gauteng one of these days. Thank you so much. I just want to quickly introduce the delegation. I'll do that quickly, Chair. I know that we have met before and that we know one another, but we have got some new members who are here today. On my right is a board member, Mr. Mungezi India, who is a member of our Audit and Risk Committee and also Chair of the Aviation Security Committee. On my left is Ms. Poppy Koza, the Director of Civil Aviation, for convenience, the Chief Executive Officer. Our Company Secretary, Nivashne Narendra, on my right. Our CFO, Chair, that you met the last time we were together up in Gauteng, is not here today. He is overseas. But we have part of our team, the Acting Chief Financial Officer, Andres Van Beren. So there's no vacancy, Chair. I was just fire a preemptive strike. The CFO is just overseas. In terms of our presentation, the CEO, the DCA, will make the substance of the presentation, supported by the Acting Chief Financial Officer. In terms of the engagement, we'll be all ready to engage, to answer questions, to make clarifications. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairman of the Board, and greetings to the Chairman of the Portfolio Committee as well as the Portfolio Committee. So we shall be giving a presentation relating to the financial year 2018-2019, so we are presenting the annual report. And this presentation, of course, will be presented on behalf of the Board and Management of the Civil Aviation Authority. The presentation outline will cover the mandate of the Civil Aviation Authority, the core ideology, how we are structured, as well as to touch on the performance issues, including financial performance. We'll also touch on the auditor general outcomes. We'll touch on the safety profile of South Africa insofar as it relates to aviation. And then we will touch on the issues relating to human resources, corporate social investment, as well as the current challenges that we face as an organization. Chairperson, just briefly, in terms of the mandate of the South African Civil Aviation Authority, we are a statutory body in terms of the Civil Aviation Act of 2009, which repealed the South African Civil Aviation Authority Act of 1998. And our mandate is mainly to regulate the civil aviation industry to ensure aviation safety and security by complying with International Civil Aviation Organization standards and recommended practices, whilst taking into account the local context. So the Civil Aviation Authority, as I've indicated, Chair, is a statutory body, and its mandate is solely to ensure that civil aviation safety and security is preserved. We also have a responsibility to promote civil aviation safety and security, as well as to develop legislation that relates to civil aviation and to monitor the implementation of the Act and the associated conventions. So on a day-to-day basis, because the Civil Aviation Authority, in fact, not the Civil Aviation Authority, South Africa is a signatory state to the UN specialized body responsible for civil aviation in globally. We therefore must at any given point comply with the international standards and recommended practices relating to aviation safety, security, as well as environmental issues. So what you will see on the slide is those circles. They are clearly demonstrating the functions of the Civil Aviation Authority on a daily basis. Of course, the International Civil Aviation Organization, which is a UN agency, expects that there will be an appropriate authority or a body that is responsible for aviation safety and security. And to that end, South Africa then created the Civil Aviation Authority. It must make sure that this agency or the body which is responsible for civil aviation in the country has appropriately trained personnel, these regulations and technical standards, this technical guidance material to guide the work of the Civil Aviation Authority. And then on the other end, there is an expectation for the industry to implement the standards and recommended practices or the regulations which are duly promulgated through the Department of Transport or the Ministry of Transport. And those regulations are developed by the South African Civil Aviation Authority. There's quite a number of activities that are contained in terms of ensuring that the personnel, for instance, the pilots, the engineers, the cabin crew, and so on, are licensed, properly and adequately trained. They are licensed by the Civil Aviation Authority, including the certification of aircraft, the approval of the infrastructure, whether it's airports and the air traffic control towers and so on. So that is by and large what the South African Civil Aviation Authority is mandated to do. With respect to the core ideology in terms of our vision, mission, as well as the brand promise, for up to the financial year end 2018-2019, we wanted to be ranked among the top 10 civil aviation authorities globally by 2020. Our mission, which is tied to the mandate, is to regulate civil aviation safety and security in support of the sustainable development of the aviation industry. And our brand promise is to keep it safe in the sky. So what we are promising is that for each and every takeoff, it must culminate into a successful landing. So that's pretty much what the Civil Aviation Authority does. With respect to the values, our values, they have an acronym which is GIF, and G stands for good is never good enough, and you are saying we always strive to give the best, our best effort, and we seek to improve the quality of service offering. We want to conduct our business in a high ethical or maintain high ethical standards and approach issues professionally and with integrity. And we also say we also want to ensure that we provide service delivery that is ahead of customer expectation, striving to always exceed customer expectation. Of course, as a regulatory authority, we are a regulator, but we also have a customer service element because we have many clients, be it the airlines, the airports, the crew, whether pilots, air traffic controllers, engineers, and so on, whom we provide services to in terms of licensing obligations. And therefore, the service excellence becomes important in that for everyone whom we interact with, they must always get the best service. We also believe that teamwork and partnering is important, working with others and taking joint accountability for the end result, which is aviation safety and security. And with respect to how we are structured as an organization, we report directly to the Minister of Transport, who is our executive authority. There is a board of directors appointed by the Minister of Transport, and then there is a director of civil aviation, or the chief executive officer, who is responsible for the day-to-day operations. And of course, we do have some governance structures as they relate to the chief audit function reporting directly to the board, as well as the company secretary, who becomes a middle man, middle woman between the board and management. We are also looking after accident and incident investigations. This is what we inherited when the Civil Aviation Authority was established. This function was moved with the Civil Aviation Authority, but with the changes in the Act, we may see this element perhaps being independent from the Civil Aviation Authority. And then we also have the Flight Inspection Unit, which does calibration services for the instrument landing systems at all airports. And with respect to the performance summary for 2018-2019, Chairperson, we put that graph to show the trends in terms of our performance from financial year 2011-2012 to financial year 2018-2019. Of note is that our performance has been increasing, and then from 2014-2015 we have been achieving 100% of performance as per the annual performance plan that is signed between the authority or the regulator and with the Ministry of Transport. So for 2018-19, so we maintained that performance. Chairperson, without necessarily going through each and every element that is contained as part of our performance information, you would note that on the side of the slide there is a status which indicates green, and this means that we have met all deliverables as expected in the annual performance. And these were duly audited by Auditor General, of course, on a sampling basis. But our internal audit also does full auditing of our performance information. Chairperson, perhaps briefly, so with respect to goal number one, we wanted to achieve a step change in regulating aviation safety and security. We had the annual target, where we wanted to close the corrective action plan. We were audited by the International Civil Aviation Organization in May 2017, and we rated fairly high. It was 84.72%, and we had a corrective action plan which aimed to close all findings at 80%. We surpassed it, and we closed 84.62%. percent of the findings. What this means is that ICAO could return to come and validate whether we have indeed closed the findings accordingly. With respect to the audit that we are expecting in 2020 is that of a security audit, again by this International Civil Aviation Organization. So what we did in the previous financial year, we started with the preparations and we had a mock audit where we coordinated with the region to have independent auditors coming to South Africa to look at the state of our readiness. And there is a lot of work that we are currently engaged in terms of ensuring that we attend to all the findings or potential findings. And we are busy with that. Chair, I don't think we will have time for me to go through each and every one of them, so I was just picking on the things that will have an impact to our safety and security posture as a country, and to also indicate that there is a lot of work that we are doing in terms of ensuring that our international obligations are indeed achieved. Chairperson, I will now hand over to the acting CFO to take us through the financial performance. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, DCA. Chair, in terms of financial performance for the Civil Aviation Authority for the 2018-2019 financial year, we generated revenue of 704.8 million rand. I can just point out in terms of this revenue, 95% is generated and the 5% transfer has been done from the Department of Transport, specifically earmarked for the Accidents and Incidents Investigation Division. In terms of our costs, 72.8% of our costs, or 512.5 million, was spent on staff-related costs. And then 27% of our cost, or 190.9 million, went to non-staff related costs, leaving us with a surplus for the year of 1.4 million rand. When this is compared to our budget for the year, the committee will notice that our budget for the year was 1.1 million rand. So we surpassed our budget with 300,000 rand. You will also note that 76% of our revenue is generated from the second line there on the slide, passenger safety charge. During the year, that was slightly lower than budget, mostly due to a drop in expected passenger numbers. We expected passenger numbers for the year and the budget to grow by 2.5%, but it only grew by 1% for the financial year under review. Going on to the next slide is just a graphical illustration of the growth that we had in our passenger numbers over the last 5 years. Because of 76% of our revenue coming from the passenger safety charge, that is obviously a function of the passenger numbers. All departing passengers in South Africa is paying a passenger safety charge, currently about 25 rand per ticket. And what this graph illustrates is during the 15-16 year, which is the bottom line there on the slide, we had a 9.1% growth in passenger numbers, but over the years that deteriorated up to a 1% growth in the 18-19 financial year. What is also quite evident from the graph is the seasonality in passenger numbers that we are experiencing in South Africa. I guess it makes sense over the holiday periods our passenger numbers increase significantly. So the beginning of a slide, over Easter, April, May, you see that passenger numbers are traditionally higher. And then during the December, January period, you see the other peak in passenger numbers. Moving over to our financial position for the year, I'm happy to report that the Civil Aviation Authority has got a strong financial position. We've got total assets of 492.6 million rand. And we've got capital and reserves accumulated of 334 million rand for the year under review. The next slide just give you a graphical presentation of our revenue, and once again it highlights the passenger safety charge relating to 76% of our revenue. Thank you, DCM.
Thank you, Chair. So the next slide is just to illustrate that as we implement the strategy, we also take into account the inherent risks that are associated with our operations, and this is really to show that we are acutely aware of the risks that are inherent in our business, and as such, we do mitigate risks accordingly. So that is an illustration of the top 10 strategic risks, as well as how we have tried to mitigate those risks. Chair, the next slide is on the Auditor General South Africa, the audit outcomes. Chair, we, at the end of the financial year when we were audited by AG, we did receive an unqualified report with six findings, including irregular expenditure. And all findings, I can confirm that all six of them have been resolved, and there is consequence management that has been taken. And the 2018-19 report, it follows the six consecutive years of a clean audit report. So we were slightly disappointed with an unqualified audit and not a clean audit as we had been accustomed to for the six consecutive years. But Chair, when you look at what was irregular about the expenditure, it was really the issue of failing from the entity to get approval from the National Treasury when the amount exceeded the 15% threshold, and that has now been addressed, and henceforth we should not have a repeat of this finding. And as I've indicated, Chair, all of these findings have been duly closed, and we have put corrective actions in place to ensure that there is no repeat. From a process flow, all processes were followed accordingly. We derived benefit from the services that were procured. The only thing that we did not do was to write to National Treasury and ask for a variation when the cost was above the 15%. But that shouldn't happen in the future, Chair. And then with respect to the accident statistics or the safety profile of aviation. Can you get into the next slide? So South Africa continues to maintain a zero accident record in the commercial scheduled operations or the airline operations. We haven't had an aircraft accident, I would say, for more than 30 years on the African soil, and this is the record that we intend to preserve. We do have, however, some challenges when it comes to private flying or general aviation. These are privately owned operations, perhaps it's a one or two men a flight traveling from perhaps Johannesburg to Polokwane, and along the way it meets up with an accident because perhaps the pilot did not do the proper checks before they took off. Sometimes it's lack of checking the weather patterns en route and so on. So there is a strategy for 2019-2020 financial year, which we are collaborating with the industry to say how best do we deal with the accident rate in the general aviation space. But Chair, I can indicate that when we compare the accident statistics for 2016-2017 or 2017-2018, we will note that in 2018-2019 was not a very good year. We had about 86 accidents compared to 83, which was recorded in 2017-2018 financial year. With regards to fatal accidents, again, when we compare the statistics from the 2017-2018 financial year, we're still in the private flying or general aviation, we had one accident higher. In 2017-2018 financial year, we had 14 fatal accidents, and in 2018-2019, we had 15 fatal accidents. And with respect to fatalities, we had one fatality less compared to the previous financial year, where we had 21 fatalities in 2017-2018 and 20 fatalities in 2018-2019. We believe that the strategy will then assist us in terms of reducing those fatalities as well as the aircraft accidents in that regard. Chairperson, then the next slide is really just to give us the category of the aircraft that we're involved in the aircraft accidents. We will note that majority of them, they are in the type certified aircraft or the fixed wing aircraft, so that is where our special focus will be, followed by the non-type certified fixed wing. All these are pretty much private flying. They are not commercial, they are not scheduled operations, they are really from the private capacity. Chair, with respect to the aircraft register, we have seen the growth in our aircraft register, which grew from 13,381 in March, 31 March 2018 to 14,005 31 March 2019. So that indicates that our industry is growing. When you look at these statistics, they are a barometer to indicate to us that indeed the aviation industry is growing. When you look at the personnel licenses, because the Civil Aviation Authority licenses personnel, and we have also seen a growth. What we've done on this graph, we've also broken it down according to demographics. We will note that when we look at all licenses that we have issued, the licenses that it also gives us transformation statistics. The licenses that are held by Africans are fairly low when you compare to the licenses that are held in general by the white counterparts. When you look at the Indians, it's even lower, as well as the colors are extremely low. So I suppose this is where the issues of transformation, we need to look into them more vigorously and come up with more strategies in terms of ensuring that this profile changes. Chair, with respect to, I touched on our international obligations in terms of the audits. South Africa gets audited by the international organization called ICAO, or International Civil Aviation Organization. As I did indicate earlier, we were audited in 2017 for aviation safety. And our current rating is at 87.41%, which is higher than the global average of 65%. We want to believe, Chairperson, that when this international body, ICAO, comes back potentially in 2020, we should be rating somewhere in the 90s, consistent with our vision of being ranked amongst the top 10 authorities globally. We think it is doable. We had 109 findings in May 2017, and we've managed to close 92 of those. Those that are not yet closed, they relate to the changes in the primary legislation, and in this case I'm relating to the Civil Aviation Act, which is, I believe, now before Parliament. So if that one is attended to, Chairperson, it should assist to get some of these findings closed, and as well as to elevate the rating of South Africa when it comes to aviation safety. We are indeed consulting with the Department of Transport to request ICAO to conduct a follow-up audit in 2020. We believe that when this audit does happen, we should see a drastic improvement in our ratings towards in the region of 90% and above. Chairperson, we are also expecting that ICAO will be auditing South Africa in 2020 on aviation security. As I did indicate earlier, we did a mock audit in February 2019 and it indicated that we needed to improve in some areas. We are busy preparing for that audit. We are comfortable, Chair, that we should perform fairly well. In the previous audit of 2011, we had rated or ranked 81.30%. When we did the self-assessment, and because there is now an increase in the standards and recommended practices that are issued by ICAO, our rating was sitting at 79.24%, but with all the corrective action steps that we are taking, we are very confident that we should rank fairly higher than what we ranked in 2011. So we are hard at work preparing for that audit. ICAO is yet to announce the date of when they will return to do a security audit. With respect to human resources, this table is giving us a snapshot of how many employees we had as at the end of the financial year, and it's broken down into various levels, from top management to the junior level. The bulk of our employees are sitting at skilled levels, and those are mainly inspectors and professionals alike. And we closed the financial year with 557 staff complement. With respect to our internal transformation, when it comes to gender parity, we're sitting at 49% females, and we were sitting at 51% males. So the Civil Aviation Authority is a fairly transformed organization in terms of gender. When it comes to race, blacks, which include colors and Indians and Africans, with 86% and 14% whites, which is pretty consistent with the demographics of the country. So the next slide is just a breakdown of how many employees at each level in terms of gender, from males to females. Again, when we come to the transformation efforts, as we alluded to earlier, Chair, the Civil Aviation Authority is continuing to try to contribute towards the transformation of the industry. So we agree that the Civil Aviation Authority as an entity is transformed, but the Civil Aviation Authority is not reflecting the transformation in the industry. And this is an area where we really need to pay more attention. To that end, Chairperson, we did draft a National Aviation Transformation Strategy, which was subsequently handed over to the Department of Transport, who is the lead department in terms of transformation. We are continuing to contribute towards that agenda. I know that the Department of Transport is busy processing the strategy towards being approved by Cabinet, so we are fully participating in that regard. We are also participating in what is called JAP, which is a Joint Aviation Awareness Program, where we partner with the industry and government departments such as the Defence Force, We partner with the Department of Public Enterprise and then with public entities such as Air Traffic and Navigation Services, South African Airways, Airports Company South Africa, and so on, to take aviation to the communities. But we equally, as a Civil Aviation Authority, do our own carrier awareness and we do school visits. And as we do that, we also call upon our partners to partner with us. And in 2018-2019 financial year, we visited 568 schools, particularly the previously disadvantaged ones, and we reached about 49,585 learners to create awareness about aviation. And we do that because at basic education, there are no subjects that are civil aviation orientated, and quite often the trend is that many learners will know about civil aviation post matric. So we're taking it to the lower levels from grade 8 to grade 12, where we then begin to orientate the learners about alternative careers in civil aviation. Equally, the Civil Aviation Authority also has a bursary scheme. Who are sponsored by SACA in the fields of aeronautical engineering. We also sponsor cadet pilots, aircraft maintenance engineering, industrial engineering, and just recently, Chairperson, because of the problems that we encounter with our own schools, own aviation training schools, where the trend has been that the cadet pilots were not making it to the top. We then partnered with the French civil aviation school, and we enrolled 5 of our cadet pilots. And this is I'll call it a guinea pig or a trial to see whether this a partnership between ourselves and the French school will yield any results. To date, it looks very promising, because ordinarily for students who would have enrolled in February, by now 3 of them would have dropped out. But those 5 students are still, continuing with their training, and indications are that they are performing fairly well. So there is a lot that we need to interrogate about our. About our training and transformation in general at these privately owned training schools, and whether they are also transformational in nature, and so on. We are also we rolled out an internship and training program, and as at the end of the financial year, we had about 24 interns who were placed in different fields at the Civil Aviation Authority. We are also supporting women-owned companies. And we have a working relationship with the South African Network of Women in Transport to expose them more on procurement issues and how best they can participate in the procurement space. The next slide is just to demonstrate our outreach in terms of how far we go with transformation. We target all provinces where we take career awareness, where we engage with women entrepreneurs and so on. And then Chair, on skills development, again is an illustration in terms of where our skills budget go to. In 2018-19 we spent about 24 million and 82% of that spend went towards black employees, 45% of the spend went to female employees, and 27% went to the employees who are below the age of 35. So in this financial year, we are saying, in fact, those who are below the age of 35, we will also need to make sure that we intensify training so that we don't have a pipeline that is drying out. Chairperson, I will now hand over to Company Secretary to take us through the corporate social investment slides, and then we'll close.
Good morning, Chair and Portfolio Committee members. In terms of corporate social investment, SACA is a good corporate citizen, has embarked on numerous socio-economic development projects. We've just at a high level list of these. One of the projects included the SACA Child-Headed Household Grocery Project, which spanned over 9 provinces. And this was done with the assistance of the Department of Social Welfare, where needy families were properly screened and identified. The program is also monitored throughout the year. We also have the hashtag Aviation Youth Show, which was hosted in June during Youth Month in Mahinga Village in Limpopo. And here, SACA was targeting 180 learners and 17 educators. We also hosted the Africa 40440 Women Empowerment Initiative, where we supported a woman with cerebral palsy who climbed Kilimanjaro. We have the Math and Science Program. It is a tutoring program that was identified, and here we were trying to build a pipeline of young future aviators, focusing specifically on helping these learners with maths and science. Lastly, we had various career awareness campaigns targeting previously disadvantaged individuals, and with this program, SACA managed to reach 568 schools, and this amounted to 49,858 learners. Organizational challenges. For SACA, as alluded to earlier, the amendment of the Civil Aviation Bill and transformation of the industry are our core challenges. Thank you.
Closure. Just to say this to the committee, I know the minister has issued a statement already, but I thought, you know, we should just inform the committee verbally that in a recent conference in Canada, the DCA was elected second vice president of ICAO, which represents the warmth with which the country is received by the International Aviation Authority and SACA in particular. I just thought we should just inform the committee about this positive development. Thank you.
They are saying you were speaking away from the mic, so they did not hear you.
Oh, shall I?
Please.
Thank you so much, Chair. I just thought it's prudent for us to inform the committee, even though the minister has issued a statement about a positive development, which is the appointment of the DCA as second vice president of ICAO in a recent conference in Canada, which we believe represents the warmth with which the country's role in aviation is received by the international aviation community, and the way in which the role of SACA is also appreciated by SAIC. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation, Chair, and your team. Members, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Honorable Hansina, you then come this.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. And might I add that it is probably the presentation that covered the widest spectrum of organizational elements that we've seen till now, in any case relevant to our committee and the fact that we've got to generate an oversight report and scrutiny of what you have presented. I would like to start on your performance information, which you presented 7 of. So firstly, the question, are those all of your performance areas, the 7 that you've presented. I do acknowledge that some of them had subdivisions, so in total you presented 9. And then also declared the status of all of those in being green, in other words, equal to what I would suggest in audit evaluations a clean finding, although it's known that after attaining about 6 clean audits, you now unfortunately had an unqualified audit with findings. Now, in particular, your goal number 1, which is to regulate the aviation industry in an effective and efficient way. Now, I see in the Auditor General's findings that there were material misstatements, of which this was one, in terms of your annual performance for auditing, in that it was found not to be the case, but subsequently to this finding of the AG, it was corrected. But the AG's specific remark around this corrected non-achievement of goal 1 was that the AG remarked and said, I did not raise any material findings on the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information related to this goal 1. So could you expand on that? Because you still come to us and now reflect this as being achieved, in that you indicate this as green status, despite the fact that it was not properly evaluated and a final finding by the AG was in fact made around this very important goal 1, which speaks to regulating the aviation industry in terms of efficiency and effectiveness. My second point relates to what you have explained very likely around contracts that's been awarded in contravention of National Treasury instructions and regulations, and it's more about the procedure and the competency which I'm questioning after receiving so many clean audits. How can such a very basic aspect have slipped through? Because surely a certain capacity and competency and systems and procedures, structures, all of this must be in place if you had attained 16 audits in a row consecutively. How can then suddenly something so basic as this happen in a credible record that you've built up? My next question is around the investigation of the cyber hack, where 2 senior managers, one in supply chain management division and information technology division, was put on suspension. And if you could just give us an update on that, but in particular around upgrades and improvements and assurances that something like this would not happen again. This in particular, Chair, in light of the expected re-evaluation that is going to happen in 2020, where our international ratings would be considered. Then lastly, Chair, there was this very unfortunate incident where a light aircraft landed on OR Tambo, and this is cause I make the remark, which I'm quoting in Times Live in September 2019, where she said, it's very strange that this light aircraft landed on a taxiway instead of a runway, and I want to ask her whether this in any way might be related to the fact that the departure point was the Free State. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to ask only one question. For what reason do you send students to France for flying training and not South Africa? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the board for the presentation. Let me just get my mic close here. Firstly, congratulations on the appointment of the DCA to the ICAO board. And secondly, I was also going to ask a question about the RB10 that landed on the taxiway in OR Tambo. How far is the investigation? Has there been any consequence management regarding the ATNS approving the plane to land when the plane landed on the taxiway? Then there was an incident on the 2nd of September 2019 regarding Mango 737-800, Juliet Sierra, Sierra Juliet Delta, Zulu Sierra, Sierra Juliet Delta, where the plane was out of trim and we nearly lost 141 passengers. That would have been a big dent on our zero accident rate in commercial. When clearly the pilot has stated that the plane was out of trim and had since the 22nd of May 2019 until July 26, 2019, the flight crew reported the aircraft oscillating on many occasions, and then a used trim motor was removed from another aircraft and then added, fitted to this plane, in direct contravention of civil aviation standards. Then I was in the fortunate position to sit next to a flight crew aircraft technician from SAA, stating that they have stripped multiple aircraft of SAA and used second-hand parts to maintain commercial airplanes, including the A340 used to the United States, the 737s of Mango, the Dash 8s of Express. It can't be right. They are playing lottery with people's lives. It's impossible. There must be some way that that either they get their house in order or you must ground them. There's no in between here. Let me just check my notes here. I would like to commend you on your BBE spent and the training of the pilots. It's long overdue. We need to close that gap. I would also like to maybe suggest that a simulator might be made available on a trailer to send to schools to promote civil aviation to schools across the country. I think it's one of the least promoted activities in the country. And then on the smaller aircraft, one of the big problems with accidents in smaller aircraft is meteorological training. I think that syllabus at your department needs to be reviewed. Many pilots in South Africa die because of weather, and they don't understand weather. It's because it's something that changes. Africa has got strange weather patterns. Overseas pilots are not used to it. We are subject to microbursts. A lot of things in this country can make you die. There's a cloud called cumulus granatus. It's very hard. If you hit that cloud, you'll die. I would really like us to maybe look if the MSA, the minimum safe altitudes, could be checked with the smaller pilots. Thank you very much.
We are here. Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Chairperson. Just to report that, you know, we have Mkonini in the room, must not move from the car as well. Just for control, Chair. It's not from the Free State, but it's from Pumala. So I'm safe. So you can't try anything today.
You want to talk? Oh,
yes.
I'll talk about them coming.
Yes, I'll be clearing. But just first and foremost, I think let me also join my colleagues in congratulating the GCA on the appointment to the international organization for aviation. I think it's a welcome development. I think it's time that we are recognized. I think perhaps if you also read your report, it says that on your own internal audit findings, you had audited yourself well against the framework of the ICAO, that you were performing at 79%, but they came back and said, actually, you're performing at around 81%, or is it 82%, around that margin. So I think it's a good indication, step in the right direction. But first and foremost, is what is RPAS? Because I'm struggling to find it here. But also, Chair, you're spending 72% of your total revenue on salaries. Well, not salaries, but staff-related costs. For any organization, I don't know, either you're running an extremely labor-intensive operation, which in itself is a bit problematic. Because, you know, as a state-owned entity, you have a statutory obligation, one, obviously to provide the service on behalf of the state, two, but to generate also profit to the shareholder, being the state as well. And if you continue with this trajectory, I mean, for instance, on your projections in the second year, that would increase by another 3%, where it will take you to now to 75% of total or of staff-related expenditure, which does not make any good business sense if you ask me. If you also, well, I think on the third year, that's where some relief comes, where it drops by 1% to about 74% of total staff-related expenditure. But also, in your projections in the second year, where it goes from 72% to 75%, it is also below the inflation rate. The current inflation rate is around 4.3%. And on your projection, here it says that you'll move from 72% to 75%. Now, the assumption that I'm making is that you're running a labor-intensive operation. Now, secondly, South Africa is a highly unionized labor environment. Now, if your projections point to the fact that you're going to have only a 3% increase, whereas the inflation rate is 4.3%, it tells you that you're going to end up at the labor, what's this thing? Either labor court or with a labor dispute, you know? I come from a local government background, like you'll end up at the LLF, local labor forum, you know? So if your projections say you will only grow by 3%, that means you have not factored in the realities which are there. Now, another issue, in terms of the regulation of drones, what is happening there? Are we moving in the right direction with, or doing, in terms of legislation? Because as a state-owned entity, you also have a duty to advise in terms of legislation, where we need to move and advise the committee and ask for the support of the committee and even through the executive authority. Because currently, you know, I got an SMS from Cell C saying that if I buy a phone, I get a free drone. Yeah, man. I buy a phone, I get a free drone. You know, what am I going to do with it? Fly it around in the township. You know, and also the amount of altitude that drone can reach, also very problematic, you know, and it's easy to access. Yes, we're moving in the fourth industrial revolution and all of those things, you know, but what's the progress there? Another issue that I have here, you had approximately 6 terminations in terms of your HR analysis there. That's a very high attrition rate of any organization. The normal attrition rate for any organization or the staff turnover is only about average is 6%. You are at 13%. There's a lot of attrition within your own organization. Why is that? Why are people leaving your organization? Why are we having that within the space that you're operating in? Because if you're at 13%, I mean, that means you're more than double of the average attrition rate, which is there. So your staff retention rate, also if you can give us that. Then in terms of your equity as well, your equity assessment, and in terms of your breakdown there, I didn't see you reporting about the the people with disabilities. You reported about males, females, black, white, Indian, and all of those things. But last time I checked, if you were looking on the employment equity policy, it also factors and puts in people with disabilities as well, which are also obligated to report on. Because any organization that does not meet or does not meet the standards, you get to be fined. If you're not reporting on it, that means it's not happening. One, if it's happening, why are you not reporting on it? Because if it's not happening, that means then you must also budget for the fine. Because now, if you're paying a fine which you have not budgeted for, that's a regular expenditure as well. You know, so those are the questions that maybe you can take us through them. And then now, lastly, Chair, the last slide there about the corporate social investment, the CSI. I see that we didn't have that slide on the presentation, but it was there on the one which was presented. And one would think that, you know, any self-respecting organization with a reputation of your kind, you are spending money on CSI. And when you spend money, that means you're spending taxpayers' money, and you have a duty to report to this committee in terms of documentation nowadays. You say, how is that money spent? But also, the slide that you presented there had the numbers of the people that we had impacted, but it didn't have the financial numbers side of things. I saw that you had a partnership with the social development of some sort, but in some way you did pump some money into, and how much was that? Like, you need to tell us, I'm sorry, you can be aware how much you're spending on your CSI, but because that didn't have any financial reporting whatsoever. It just told us that you impacted about 43,000 of those people in anything like that. Chair, thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My chair, yeah. Chairperson, firstly, I would like to join my colleagues who are congratulating the Director of Civil Aviation and all the best, represent us as South Africans. Well, thank you. Honorable Chairperson, I also want to add on what my colleagues were saying. Some of the things that I wanted to raise have been raised, but I want to add on this one, air retention. I want to check with the entity whether they are having retention strategy for employees, for workers. Secondly, Chairperson, the presentation was silence on the issue of consultants. I want to check with them. Are they having consultants who are doing work with them? And how much they have paid during this financial year that we are reviewing? The third one, Chairperson, is about challenges. It was indicated in the presentation that there are organizational challenges. Two of them were mentioned. Amendment of the Civil Aviation Bill. What do they mean? Can they expand on that so that we have an understanding of the challenges that they are mentioning? And also transformation of the industry. They said it's a challenge. Can they elaborate on that? Chairperson, I just want to add on the issue here, the consultants. If they have, did they transfer skills to the workers if they are having those consultants? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. First and foremost, Honorable Chairperson, let me join my colleagues by congratulating the entity on the achievements that they managed to get under the year under review. But also, like Honorable who spoke before me on the audit outcome, how did this matter slip through whilst for quite long a time they had a clean audit? Because for me that is quite a little bit problematic that you yourself did not pick it up. And because, Honorable Chairperson, the audit is not a once-off, it's a process. How did it went through even within your internal audit committee? Because of your history, you are an entity that is not expected to get into such situation because of the good history that you are carrying. Chair, I've got to hear that you are getting partnership with your friends insofar as training is concerned. Quite excited. However, please tell us why French, so that if there was any comparison, take us through in that. The last one, Chair, indeed, like my colleague spoke to this matter, the ease of transformation of the industry. Is there a plan first? We've just heard from one entity where they heard that they are still considering transformation. We were all taken aback. But here I guess you are not considering, but you are embarking on transformation. But please give us your plan, and because you are saying it's a problem, what are the problems and how best do you want to deal with your problem so that we can get from you on how we are going to do it. The amendment of the civil aviation, like my colleague made mention of, what is the problem? And in that regard, is it because it's a policy matter? If it is a policy matter or it's a bill like you are saying, what is supposed to be the role of the DOT? If it's an obvious thing, where does the DOT fail? I know it's a mother. Sometimes we need to criticize the mother for her to move a little bit faster. Because if it's a bill, I guess it's in the DOT table. So if that is the case, where is the problem? Because we are to meet with the DOT, maybe we should clap a little bit. But we'll move if there's a need for us to do that for the better of this very powerful entity that is doing very well, especially on the issue of empowering of women. I think I'm very proud of that. Please move a little bit faster, but tell us exactly, you might have done that in your report, which schools are you targeting? Because in South Africa is made up of 9 provinces, we all know. However, the provinces are not all the same. There are most rural that are really in need of such, regardless of where they are situated, because it's not of their choice. So we'd love to hear from you, where are you exactly? How do you get into the most rural areas? But even also the affluent areas, how do you get there? Because they also need that kind of empowerment. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also take note of the report. The board, what is your relationship with the State Security Minister with regard to safety, and how do you often meet for the purpose of your safety on the sky? Your record on accident is user-friendly. How are your clients insured against accident that might happen in the sky? Your mom on this. How safe are your sky transport users taking into account what transpired 21 years in America? Then the issue of helicopter licenses, how do you regulate this? Do we have traffic officers that control light aircraft, especially white farmers that control themselves on the farm side? Because most of them, they use the aircraft for farming. Last, you visited 568 schools and only 49,585 learners were reached. When do you intend visiting all the provinces? And also, what is your relationship with the Minister of Basic Education with regard to this? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good afternoon, colleagues. The AG, although DCA, you seem to be putting it very light, which I don't think it should be light. We are in the crisis we are in as a country financially, corruption-wise and otherwise, because we tend to have a good way of presenting things that are serious. I'm in particular here talking to the six findings of irregular expenditure that you alluded to. May I quote briefly what the AGSA's understanding or explanation of irregular expenditure, which I'm sure you know, but to make the point. It says that the expenditure that was not incurred in the manner prescribed by legislation. I underline the word legislation. It means if there is legislation, there was a need to legislate. And therefore, if somebody contravenes or deliberately or undeliberately decides to evade legislation, there should be action. Now you bring it very lightly, this thing was just this, we did this. It cannot be acceptable. We need to get from you, what investigation did you undertake on all those six things? Firstly, what were they? What was the investigation? And because in this legislation, I mean, in the investigation, it's important that we need to know what was the impact or what was the effect of that irregular expenditure. Could be financial, could be otherwise. And we need to know that if negligence was proven, what steps were taken. You said there was consequence management, but you are not telling us what. I don't even want you to tell us now if you don't want to, but I would like to know in detail, which the chairperson I'm sure will tell you when. Those six details, what was it? What did you find there? What action was taken? So that we can move away from this once and for all, colleagues. No irregular expenditure doesn't necessarily mean there was corruption, doesn't mean, no, we can't. Then if that is the case, let us scrap it. Let's say there's nothing called irregular expenditure. Then you don't have to bother about it. But as long as it is there, and as long as it is legislation, it has to be complied with. And if not, we need to know why. In terms of your financial stability, again, it looks quite well. Now, the thought came across my mind. Maybe you might want to comment on it, but maybe you should be in one of those agencies that the department doesn't support in terms of injection and so forth, because it looks like you're doing quite well. Because if you look at the status of finances in the state and where we are, I'm sure the department can do much more. Because the normal human reaction to money is that there will always be something to do with money. My colleague spoke about clean, unqualified. Lastly, Chair, on the issue of your awareness, training of pilots and so forth, transformation. I think we must say things the way they are, Chairperson of the Board. This cannot be an excuse anymore that we are developing a strategy
we are not happy also. If you are not happy, who what must we do? Are you not there to transform the industry? That's your job. You can't come and tell us we are also not happy with this transformation. You know, 26 years into democracy, we are still going to develop a strategy. Chairperson, I'll say it the way it is, not acceptable. Not acceptable. Whether you send them to America or to France, I'm sorry I'm contradicting my colleagues. You can send them to Switzerland if you want to. But we want transformation. But there's this transformation that we seem to be very apologetic about. You know, we are spending 82% on black staff, we are spending this on women and all those things. That is not the core of aviation. That is not where aviation is the core is. That is peripheral issues we are talking about. So when we are talking transformation, we are talking the face of transformation as you are sending cadets and so forth, but the actual core of the business, you know, who supplies your technology when you are inspecting your airplanes on the runways or in the parking lot? Who provides, calibrates, maintains your equipment that you use for accident investigation and reconstruction? Who provides you with aircraft? For instance, if you are hiring, I know you've got your own one that you inspect yourself, but in the event that you hire another one, who provides you that? That is where we are talking about. While we are looking at the peripheral issues that are very easy to report. No, we trained so many black people, we visited so many black schools and all those things. It's 25 years, Chairperson of the board, not honorable Chairperson, and I'm looking you in the eye, eyeball to eyeball. We cannot now next year come here. You know, the strategy we have presented to the minister, because we are contributing towards the... No, it's not acceptable. It cannot be acceptable. It has to stop, and it has to stop with this sixth administration. As long as we are here in this committee, it has to change. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Chair, because we are chairing this session interchangeably, let me allow you to share your session.
And honest engagement. The bulk of their responses will come from the DCA. But as we all had, Honorable Martin was looking directly at my eye on the vexing question of transformation. And I think there are three other questions from other honorable members that related to transformation. So I'll start off by responding to those questions, after which the DCA will take the bulk. On a lighter note, I got quite emotional when Honorable Mabena spoke about drones and how he was surprised CELC will supply him with one. I come from Limpopo. Drones in the form of brooms are very common. So drones are part of our technology. Now, on the question of transformation and why we're sending the youth to France and the difficulties that we're having, shall I say this at the outset, that the question of transformation in aviation is a serious one. And it has got huge economic implications in our country. Just to come to the challenges that the youth are facing, to be specific, these are entry-related challenges at two fronts. The first is they have got difficulties to have entry into the aviation industry. The DCA alluded to how there is a high dropout rate to those who go into aviation schools in the country. So that's one problem, you know, entry, dropout rate, one problem. But what also becomes a problem, those that make it, those that survive all the challenges that are associated with training in aviation, don't have anywhere to go even after qualifying. This is a fact. This comes to our desk from time to time. So these are real big problems. Honorable Man said we need to resolve this. We can't mourn and wail about it. We've got a mandate to deal with this. But shall I say, this will be a multi-pronged approach. The department, ourselves, sister organizations, the industry has got a role to play in addressing these problems. Now, we know from our engagements with the shareholder that there is passion to deal with these problems. And one of the much talked about vehicle to deal with this is that has got to do with the promotion of civil aviation awareness, is the whole concept of an aviation academy. I know it is at the early stages, but it is meant to address the problems of entry, of dropouts, of retention, of access to the industry by young people, you see. Just on the other question that was raised, that is cost related, why do you train your young people in France? Why not here? One, there are several problems. As I've indicated, dropping out, some of them even go to an extent of expressing the challenge of racism. But looking at it from an economic variable, the costs are more or less the same. The costs are not that that different at the end of the day.
Thank you, Chair. So I will try to go through the questions in addition to what the chairperson of the board has responded to one by one. I think the first question related to the finding on goal number one, where the AG expressed an opinion. As a matter of fact, on performance information relating to goal number one, the AG expressed an opinion of unqualified audit opinion. And the AG did indicate, though, because the misstatement was on the underreporting in the numbers. So we underreported, and when the AG did the numbers, they found that, in fact, we had underreported when we should have. So the number was not accurate. We had underreported, and AG found that, in fact, we had performed and much higher than what was reported. So that was corrected on the spot. So when we look at the report and it says the status is green, it is because the AG was, in fact, we were satisfied first that we had met the deliverables as per the annual performance plan. And of course the AG did pick up the underreporting, which was corrected on the spot, and that audit finding was closed immediately. So I think it's the issue of reconciling the numbers appropriately, which is one of the quality checks that we have put in place to also include the people with the financial background when we do the numbers. And then the second issue about the contract, I think this question was also asked later on. The contract that was awarded, or the irregular expenditure, how did that slip through? So the irregular expenditure is it's two instances, but it's one finding. So it's two instances which make up the irregular expenditure relating to the contracts management. And the reason why we're taking consequence management was because the person who was supposed to have declared upfront, maybe Andrews, you'll give more detail, you will add on. So we have a Microsoft agreement, and we have to do what we call a true-up cost, where we do the reconciliation of licenses. There is a declaration that we do upfront as the authority, which we then pass on to Microsoft in terms of the number of licenses that we have used. The person who made a declaration of a nil, a zero report, so kind of saying we did not exceed the number of licenses that we had originally contracted. So Microsoft sat with that declaration, but when they did a review at the end of the contract, they found out that in fact we had used more licenses than we had originally contracted, and that is because of the staff movement and so on. And when we looked at the evidence in terms of what had we submitted, we picked up that we had submitted a declaration that says the licenses, there was a zero increase, when in fact it was not the case. And then when we do the reconciliation now in terms of numbers, the payment that had to be made to National Treasury, we had to incur more costs, which was above a 15% threshold, which is why a finding was raised. Ordinarily, we would not have known about that finding, because the senior manager, or rather the manager who does the declaration, had misrepresented facts, and we learned about this post the end of the financial year, and of course consequence management was taken to the effect that that manager was put on suspension, and as we speak today he is sitting or appearing before the disciplinary committee. And then the second contract, so the irregular expenditure is not all six findings, it is only one finding, but it relates to two contracts. So the second one relates to the interpretation of the contract. So the contract stipulates an amount, but then it has a clause that says we can, for emergency purposes, we can use your services as and when required, and it relates to an IT contract. So ordinarily, as a growing business, you know, there will be network switches that you must procure, there will be this that will need emergency procurement and so on. Those who implement the contract understood that because we have that statement in the contract allowing for any other procurement of any emergency emergency procurement, then it means we didn't have to go to Treasury to ask for variation. In fact, we went to, we spoke to AG, we even went to Treasury to interpret the contract. It was very clear that firstly, the contract wasn't worded in a manner that was proper, and we can't have a contract that has two elements that are kind of contradicting each other. We either stick to the contract amount, and anything that is up, over and above, you need to get a variation from National Treasury. So I want to believe that some of these things would not have been foreseen upfront, because we thought the declaration was accurate, the interpretation of the contract was indeed accurate, when in fact it was not the case. So that is why we then had that irregular expenditure. So irregular expenditure is one finding, but relating to contracts. And then the other issue relating to the cyber attack in July. So it was very unfortunate that we had a cyber attack which was duly disclosed even to the Auditor General. But I must indicate that we had adequate backup systems in place to the extent that business was not affected by, for instance, the loss of information. In fact, we are still recovering some information from the backup systems because the data load is huge. It dates back, you know, from 1998. So continuously, we are still, you know, recovering some of the information. Plus, we had a backup. We have an off-site disaster recovery where we could, in fact, recover the information from as a matter of urgency. There was slowness in terms of the delivering the service because we had to resort to manual system. So the delay was just on that. But in terms of the information from where I sit now, there are no indications that we have lost information. Safe to say that some of the information is still being recovered as we speak. What we've learned about this instance is that no one in fact is safe, especially from ransomware, because for as long as the hackers can get hold of your systems, lock your accounts and demand ransom, it happens even to the banks, everywhere else. But what is most important is, are we resilient enough to go back to service as a matter of urgency? And we managed to get back to service. The light aircraft that landed at Or Tambo International Airport, that is still under investigation. Preliminary, consistent with the statement that was issued, it is something that should not have happened. We understand, based on the preliminary investigation, that it was a convenience issue, a craft from Bloemfontein trying to rush a passenger who was late for an international flight, and so on. But it does come with huge consequences. The investigation is currently going on. One thing that we are certain of is that we will definitely leave no stones unturned because we can't afford a repeat of the similar incident. We were fortunate that in as much as the aircraft landed on a taxiway, there was no accident. But it is high on our agenda in terms of ensuring that we don't have a repeat of that. So if it means that we will take action against Airports Company South Africa, we will do so. If we have to take action against Air Traffic and Navigation Services, the operator, whoever else that would have been found to be on the wrong in the value chain, we shall do what we have to do, consistent with our mandate. The chairperson has already responded to the issue of sending students to France.
Maybe you should also clear this myth that this aircraft came from Free State. What is it have to do with all these issues?
Chairperson, it is a fact. It is from the Free State. Yes.
Yeah, person, the flight did originate from Bloemfontein, but the pilot was Johannesburg based.
You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. So the investigation is advancing. And with respect to the students who were sent to France, I think that the chairperson of the board has covered that. There are many issues with the training schools that we have, which in our view are not transformational or developmental. And there are many reports that we receive from students because we have students whom we have awarded bursaries. Over and above those that we have sent to France, we still have cadet pilots who are funded by the Civil Aviation Authority in these schools. And we've had to change some of them from one school to another on account of racism, on account of prioritization, perhaps those that have more money, for instance, would get more priority, and so on in ill treatment, and quite often, especially those who are government funded, because it is known that government will continue to pay, so they will not be passed. So the training schools continue to make money, because if you are at the verge of completing your training and they fail you on one element or two, then most likely the government will pay again. It's not the same as you know, the privately funded students who will follow up and make sure that, you know, the issues of failure rate are managed accordingly. With respect to the Mango aircraft, firstly, I think we congratulate the pilots for handling the situation accordingly. The aircraft do, you know, the incidents do occur from time to time, but I think the airmanship that was demonstrated by those pilots indicates that we do have good pilots who are able to control the situation. Again, the incident is still under investigation. There was a preliminary report that was issued a few days ago. I'm still studying that report. But there's been many other claims that have been playing out in the media, which speak to the next issue that was raised about the parts from one aircraft being, they call it cannibalizing aircraft parts from one aircraft to another, and so on. Preliminary investigations indicate that there is no crisis. However, we are taking a deeper look into the issues, because once someone makes an allegation, it's an allegation that we can't afford to ignore. As we speak, our team is at SAA Technical looking into these issues, because SAA Technical does the maintenance for South African Airways, for Mango, for Comair. So we are also checking whether there is no relationship between the incident as well as the issue of the aircraft parts that would have been moved from one aircraft to another. So that matter is under investigation. What we know, though, is that in an event that there is cannibalizing of aircraft parts, then it speaks to the airworthiness of that aircraft. And if we can't vouch for the airworthiness of the aircraft, that aircraft cannot fly. So we shall be taking measures to make sure that we don't put the lives of South Africans at risk. We've done it before, and we'll continue to do grounding when grounding must happen. The issue of consideration of a simulator training, that in fact is on the cards, because we have seen that there is international best practice, that it does contribute to fast track and elevate the issues of training. In fact, the authority is looking into this issue, whether we should even have a simulator for regulatory processes as well, over and above just training. The issue of the MET or meteorology training. So the syllabus was reviewed about 2 years ago, and it is aligned to international best practice. We benchmarked with the EU, we benchmarked with the FAA, and our syllabus is in fact one that also contributed in us performing very well in the ICAO audit. Of course, syllabus can be reviewed, but not with an intention to lower the standard, because it is very key for us, you know, to have, you know, the standard that is world class. But the point is taken to say maybe we could look at the review of the syllabus. Although we have not necessarily seen too many people failing MET, some do fail because they don't study, But when they study and prepare well, we do find that they do pass. The question of what is RPAS? RPAS is remotely piloted aircraft systems, or it is drones in short. And in terms of the legislation for the drones, in fact, we are among the first countries to promulgate legislation to regulate drones. It was back in July 2015, and we have become a benchmark from other states. So I think we are on course. In fact, we are busy amending the drone legislation, taking into account the developments which are happening globally. We sit in a number of panels of ICAO. We sit in a number of panels of other world bodies to look into this issue, because this is a technology that is fairly new in the civilian airspace. It's been used in the military, but to integrate it into the civilian airspace is not a very easy transition, and it needs a lot of education of the users, because some of them are not your aviators, traditional aviators. We find that those who want to use drones can just be anyone who wants to operate a drone. But our legislation is very strict, and we try from time to time to create awareness, so that even those who want to buy drones and operate them, but who don't have any pilot experience, know the expectations, the regulations. There was another question around the termination. Yes, the Civil Aviation Authority does have an attrition rate, which can be seen to be high, but my assessment was that we're sitting at about 7-8%. I'm going to reconcile the numbers just now. And that is because we are the only regulatory authority in the country, and we fight for the similar resources with the industry. So it means that our retention strategies, they need to be reviewed from time to time. One of the challenges that we encounter is that, for instance, pilots, air traffic controllers, and engineers, sometimes they don't want to come and sit behind the desk. They will come for 2-3 months, they get bored and they want to go back flying. Or sometimes they will find employment at the regulator because maybe for medical reasons the pilot can't fly, and they look for an alternative employment. But immediately after whatever that put them on the ground is resolved, they would ordinarily go back to flying. So we do have, particularly the technical skills, a rather abnormal attrition rate when we compare that to other fields where we see a lot of movement, which we try to manage at all cost, but it does pose a challenge. So we are reviewing our retention strategy. We do have a retention strategy, but in our experience, sometimes even money is not enough, because when one has a passion for flying, it doesn't matter how much you want to give them. If they want to fly, they just want to fly. And this is not a South African problem. In all forums that you go to, you know, globally, it's a question of how do we retain resources at regulatory authorities, because we fight with the industry all the time for very scarce resources. With respect to the CSI spend, I don't have the total, but I'm sure we can provide that to the Secretariat in terms of how much we spend for CSI. I think it is in the annual report, it's just that I can't make the calculations right now, and apologies for that omission. The issue of consultants, Andrew, do you want to talk about the consultants?
DCA, I can just say, in terms of our consultants, in our annual report, we do disclose that we spent for the year 8.6 million rand for consulting and professional fees. In terms of consultants, we don't normally use consultants. We comply with the National Treasury Cost Containment Regulations, on appointing consultants, and we've got a rigorous process that we go through to make sure that we don't have a skill internally in the company before we do appoint consultants. There are certain consultants where we do appoint, but that is for editing of reports and those kind of things. Now and again, on internal audit, when we don't have a capacity in the company or a specific skill that is required for a specific job.
Thank you, Andrew. With respect to what we mean by the challenges of the civil aviation bill as well as transformation, and how way is the progress with respect to the bill. So according to the information, because it's the Department of Transport who would process the bills through the legislative process, our understanding is that the bill was in the legislature program of 2017-2018, and it was introduced in Parliament, but the previous Parliament could not finish its work, and it remains a priority, I believe, for this financially, for the sixth administration. But I'm sure the department will give more details on that later on, Chairperson. The transformation, I think, Chair, we have touched on it. French, we have touched on that. And then the issues of the findings, I think I did clarify that the six findings, they don't relate to irregular expenditure. It's only one, and the others compliance issues, for instance, the submission of our BBBE report to the BBBE committee, which is a requirement that we're not aware of, but it has subsequently been submitted accordingly. I think that was just about the financial position. No. Oh, and then the last one was the issue of the regulation of farming, the helicopters. Again, that falls within the private, the general aviation. There are regulations to regulate at this area, consistent with the regulations. So in as much as the pilots will be kept doing stock counting, for instance, they do so, or crop spraying, or just general building of hours and so on in their own property, they do so under prescribed legislation. What we are now doing is to develop regulations to have the all landing strips in South Africa to be registered with the Civil Aviation Authority, of course, for safety reasons, as well as to know where these heliports or landing strips are situated in a country. I think the last question was our interface with state security agency. I think it was also linked with the events of the US about 21 years ago. I think if I had that correctly. So we have a National Aviation Security Committee that sits on a quarterly basis, and the State Security Agency is a member of that committee. In fact, even as we traveled now to the assembly of ICAO, State Security Agency was also represented. So we interact with State Security Agency on an ongoing basis, and we meet at least on a quarterly basis to discuss the issues of aviation security, which is where we interact more. And with respect to the interaction between ourselves and the Department of Basic Education, when we do this career awareness we do them in conjunction with the Department of Basic Education, because there's a lot of arrangements that needs to be done to allow the learners to leave their schools to a venue where perhaps we are hosting an air show, and that gets done together with the Department of Basic Education. In fact, many of these career awareness are not done in isolation. They are done in cooperation with the Department of Basic Education. Thank you, Chairman.
Oh, well. Okay.
Thank you so much. I think there are two questions which maybe might have escaped the DCA.
Yes.
The first one, the issue of your staff-related costs, the definition thereof, because if 72% of your entire budget spend is spent on salary or personal remuneration, of your social services.
She has got it.
Yes, thanks, Chair.
The
and then
one?
The other one is the issue of equity. According to the EE policy, you need to have at least 2% of people with disabilities employed within your own organization.
She has it.
If you don't comply, then it's a, then you'll be fined there. And then in terms of the progression of your in terms of your budget for the next two financial years, in the next in the coming financial year, you budgeted a 3% increase in staff-related costs, whereas the inflation is 4.3%, and then in the other financial year, the third one, you budgeted a 74% well, your staff and sales cost would be 74% of your total revenue. That correlates to about 2% increase, whereas inflation is still within 4.3%. So if maybe you can give us clarity there.
Thank you, Chairperson. I apologize. I've got those questions here, but I think when I was taking the drones one, it got missed out. Apologies for that. So the Civil Aviation Authority is labor intensive because it's a regulatory authority, and it depends on the employees to perform auditing and so on, things that can't be substituted by machines, for instance. In fact, the trend globally is that the regulatory authority will be labor intensive. I'm going to ask the acting CFO to talk about the budget the progression. And then the issue of the employees living with disability. In the previous financial year, we had targeted to have 4, but we ended the financial year with 5. So we did exceed the target. In terms of the percentage, I can quantify that. Unfortunately, it is contained in our annual report on page 95, I'm sure that can be quantified. But we did exceed the target in terms of the number of employees that we had to employ living with disability. So that is part of our employment equity plan as well.
Thank you, DCA. Just in terms of a progression, in terms of a budget, Honourable Member, I can confirm what the DCA said, that we are a labour-intensive institution. Effectively, what we do is we make laws and regulations, and then we've got to send out people to make sure that those laws and regulations are actually enforced. So we would expect, and historically we've seen that our labour cost would be between 73 and 75% of our total cost, and that is to be expected. In terms of a progression year on year, what we budgeted for is we budgeted for a slight increase in the staff complement to 580. I think at the last financial year we were roughly about 585 members. And then we are budgeting for a salary increase of inflation plus 1.5%. That is all included in the budget numbers that you see in front of you.
Okay. Thank you, Chen. Thank you,
Chen. Well,
I really want to appeal to the CEO. She did not really convincingly responded to my question. Instead, she problematized the matter of the training. She went to an extent to say there are serious problems. I'm not sure whether we need to be informed about those problems, because we give money to the department, the department then give money. We can't have a situation where the people who are expected to be empowered because of the policies of this government are the ones who are disrespected, and we just report that as a norm. Let's get it to the bottom of it, so that if we can, we can take a decision to say, well, we'll not send our students into such training institutions, rather we can design ours. Because, as you further explained, CEO, Africa says there are problems. If, like we have just heard, that at some point no doctor passed the exam, we are also narrating that to say at some point people are made not to pass because they are being government funded. Because government will give money anyway. That's just a serious problem from where I'm seated. Let's get to hear this. What is this that is taking place in that regard? Because much as you are unable to explain to its totality what is your transformational plan, you are embarking on it, but you are reporting it on a personal basis. Let's get to hear, so that we sit here as the people who are developing laws, understanding where the gaps are, because there are people who are specifically said to benefit out of this. The previously disadvantaged. It's no longer under negotiation. It should happen. And if it doesn't happen, we must be made aware why it's not happening. So that we, if you can, we deal with the problems that are encountered. I think we are equal to the task. So let's get to here, because you can't forever put money to something that you said is not going to give you any positive outcome. I'm really very disappointed. Let's get to get that report by Monday, so that we can engage with that report. To instead of saying, if those people are giving us some problems, let them be called in here and let them take us through. Because I guess they might be training everybody, we have money. But as government, we are also putting money in their institution. And if we're not satisfied with that they are providing, let's say so. Maybe it will trigger some thinking to say, how about coming up with other arrangements? So that we are not being held on ransom, that we are this government that is willing to pay, and sometimes we pay for things that we never get any positive outcome. So I want to insist check to say, we really need to hear more about this, so that we can engage with the DOT and find some solution. Because what we are reporting is quite important for us, who are representing previously disadvantaged people. We must give an outcome that is going to make us all proud. To say, you studied it, and here's the outcome. Can't say I can imagine how long does it take, maybe 3 to 5 years, and in the 6th, 7th year, they can't get what they expected to get, insofar as qualification is concerned, because of racial matters. CEO, at this point in time, can't be. It's not acceptable. I'm sorry. Thanks,
Chair. Just detail it and give us that written response by midday Monday. Yeah.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay. The motor industry. Normally, when they change breeds in the same brand, they entice their clients, the users, all the time. I think what I'm picking up here is that those of you who are doing extremely well, getting clean audits, you get to a situation where you are comfortable and just say, we are champions, we'll get it anyway. you should entice your clients, keep up with the momentum, one step ahead. I think that's what the members were saying here. Because you have shown that you have capacity of doing these things. CEO, what has been good about the entities that we have met? They are so genuine in their presentation. It means you must find ways. If you say to us, if it was not picked up by Microsoft, wouldn't have picked it up? It means there's a problem there. You should be able to pick up everything as people who are capacitated and continuously motivate your your people. The honourable member, they were saying, consequence management. Motivation could be one of the factors that refresh people. I mean, if somebody is here already and you are convinced that this person is quality, motivate them, train them all the time so that you are like this prince. You know, once the new generation comes, you can see the difference. But the architects are actually most of the time one person. Things differently all the time. So you don't think we are too harsh. Because if you meet somebody who had a disclaimer and getting a qualified, we actually congratulate that person, eh? And say, no, you are moving in the right direction. And if we get somebody who has a clean audit, getting an unqualified, it's a serious problem. And you may want to say, but it's unfair. No, it's not. The eagles and the doves are not judged the same. Once you become an eagle, we put you in that bracket, then we treat you as an eagle. So you are, in this case, an eagle. Keep on flying like an eagle. Otherwise, I wouldn't want to repeat what the other members have said. Keep on doing the good job. We'll follow up on this issue of the plane. How far have you dealt with it? I think you must deal with it. Otherwise, we want to commend the good work that you are doing. Where you can insult. Where you can make change. Let's grill you for making changes. Don't request anybody to make these changes. They are part of our constitution. And let's liberate you. I'm being very nice because you have said this for the first time that you are called. We will call you even if you got a clean audit. We'll call you and say, why are you getting this clean audit? Can we compare it with the impact on the ground? Can we compare it with the impact on the ground? Why would you get clean audit when it comes to transformation? You are still found wanting. You know, until those issues are closed, don't think if you have a clean audit you won't raise issues. Don't feel bad. We'll support you. Thank you. You are liberated.
And Mr. India will thank you on our behalf. Honorable Chair, with your permission.
Mr. India.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. On behalf of the board and the management, we would like to thank you, the committee, for the opportunity they've given to us. as the Honourable Chair stated that it is the first opportunity for us to engage with the committee. We embrace and welcome the feedback we have received from the members, and we can assure you, Honourable Chair, that we'll report back with all those outstanding issues. And also, Chair, I don't want to overemphasize the issue of transformation. I think as the board, we'll make sure that we engage with the management and report on it. Also, Chair, we want also to assure you that for the upcoming 2020, we'll make sure as the board that our oversight responsibility will be there to make sure that the management is prepared for that audit. Chair, I don't want to keep you so long. I think it has been a good engagement. There are positives which we have already learned from this committee. As I said, that will come back as promised, especially the issue that was raised for the Tara explanation of some of the issues that were raised by the honourable members. I thank you, Chair.
You are liberated. Unfortunately, we shall have to eat whilst you are not here. Thank you very much. Members shall remain until I liberate them. I have a secretary that sometimes overrules me. I don't know what's happening next to me. But she's directing us that we must go and eat. Maybe members have something that they want to talk amongst themselves. Come back 1:30 for that particular, let's say 22. They want to be briefed on another matter. It's not me. I can see Honorable Hansing, your face is not friendly. But that is the caucus that is coming there. I'm just passing a message there. I'm just agreeing with that message. So don't shoot me. In this case, I'm a messenger. Go and eat and come back 22 so that we can have our caucus. Okay.